Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Hacking Love, deepening commitment through open relationships. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Anna. We created this podcast to explore the transformative power of ethical non-monogamy and how it can deepen connections in modern relationships.
We've been through it all, divorce, heartbreak, and figuring out what real commitment looks like. Now we're here to share our journey and the lessons we've learned along the way.
Whether you're experienced in open relationships or just curious, we want this to be a space where we can dive into real conversation about everything from swinging to polyamory.
We'll talk candidly about jealousy, desire, emotional growth, and radical honesty. Basically, everything that comes up when you step outside the conventional rules of love.
And if you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. It really helps us reach more people.
Absolutely. And we'd also love to hear from you. Our contact info is in the show notes, so feel free to reach out with your thoughts and questions. We'll definitely get back to you.
So let's dive in. It's time to hack love and discover what truly authentic connections look like.
Back to Hacking Love.
So today we thought we would go back and revisit some of our early stories when we first started. We talked to you guys about Orgy Dome a few years ago. That was our first foray into a full swap situation. And the sex tent at the
festival we went to.
At the festival we went to. And oh, that's a great thing we can revisit too. We've talked about that. Wanting to revisit the sex tent story.
Why?
And the whole consent issue around it. Yeah, like we can even start there a little bit. But what we really want to talk about today is the first time we went to a lifestyle or sex club. Basically.
So for those who don't know, most every major city has a lifestyle sex club where you can go and meet people who are in lifestyle and have sex there if you want and dance and drink or do whatever you want to do.
You have to bring your own alcohol. They have playrooms, different ones that are all together with curtains between them. Then they have ones that are bigger and separate with viewing areas. If you want to be watched, you can close the curtains. Some that are out in public. But yeah, and music and DJs and dancing. And usually there's a theme night. The one we went to was for St. Patrick's Day. But yeah, but let's, before we get into that, let's go back to, if you've gone back and listened to our early episodes, we talked about the very first time we had an experience having sex in public. And we had another man join us. We called him the Cunnilingus Troll.
Cunnilingus Troll, yes. He was.
He ended up joining us.
He popped up and provided a little cunnilingus.
It was in this open sex tent in the woods at this festival where you could just drop in and there were mattresses everywhere and you could hop on a mattress and have sex and other people are having sex around. It wasn't an orgy feel, but we were playing on a mattress and a young man came up and started helping you. And we realized later the way we described it, we really did not address the consent issue with that at all. And we really should, because consent is super important in the lifestyle. And so I just wanted to say from my perspective, that was not an issue for me that night. I had my wits about me and I knew it was happening and I was fine with it. I felt very taken care of by you. You were monitoring the situation and communicating with me the whole time. And even when he tried to kiss me, you pushed him away and told him no. And he was very respectful. And was so nice afterwards and said thank you. And
so if you want to hear that story, do you know what episode that was?
It's
the Burning Man Orgy Dome story. Also has the sex tent story at the festival, which we threw in there as a bonus.
Yes, that was our very first kind of foray into public sex and nakedness. And then anything group related, which is funny. Our first group thing was an MFM, essentially, which is what we kind of, I know, so funny. So we started there, and then it really wasn't until about a year and a half later that we set up our field account and Cassidy, and we've talked about that too. We have an episode about what it's like to set up these dating accounts,
profiles,
right? And how we did it and what people look for and what the different sites are like. So if you're trying to decide which one to go with, you can go back and listen to that episode. So when we went to our first sex club, we were traveling. So the name of the club is Colette's. They have a location in Dallas, Austin, and New Orleans. So we were traveling and we went to one of those locations. And for St. Patrick's Day. And so everybody was dressed up in all their green. And we really didn't know anything about these clubs at all, other than we had listened to John and Jackie Melfi's podcast. That was the first podcast we ever listened to. And we really liked them. We love their content.
And they own those clubs.
They own those clubs, correct.
So they talked about them. We're like, oh, we should go to that next time we're in that town. And so we went. And so my expectation was, I knew it was going to be like a strip club, right? Just a strip club with beds and nightclub feel. And so my expectations were a nightclub kind of thing. Your expectations were a little different, though.
Mine were very different. So I
you're expecting like a W.
I was expecting like a very classy establishment. I have no idea where I got these expectations. I think it's honestly, it's your fault, Jackie Melfi, because you seem like such a classy person. I just picture you at the Four Seasons or at the W, and I figure that's what it would look like. And so I think that is, you're running a business, and that is, it's just a different vibe to it.
Yeah, you don't have like bouncers and sheet washers at the, right, at the W's lounge. Right. Really, you don't have paper towels everywhere and lube in the corners.
So like I was dressed up so much, and so we go out there, and it's located in a very secluded part of town in an area that's, it's almost warehousey outside of town. And you can't tell from the outside what it is. It's almost hidden like a speakeasy. So I thought, okay, so it looks like we're about to walk into some sort of warehouse, but I'm sure in the inside it's going to be like chandeliers. So we walk in and it is not, right? And so
here's the funniest thing is, I was taking care of the parking.
You were parking, so I go in by myself.
You went in by yourself, and then I walk in, and you're like sitting on the bench, cowered a little bit.
I was.
And I'm like, what's going on? You're like, I don't know.
I was terrified. I will say this. The staff were so nice. They could not have been nicer. But it was just, if that many people are going in and out of a nightclub over years and years, right? It gets run down. The carpet is run down, and it just gets.
The upholstery on the couches. You pointed out.
Yeah, it was like ripped and torn and all that, and that's just the way it is. I am very naive, so I am very new to all this. Super naive.
First thing you said was, "It smells like a gas station in here." Like that antiseptic smell.
Yes, which is probably a good sign that they're really doing a good job cleaning with the bleach, but it did smell like a gas station bathroom to me, like that kind of fake, like Febreze-y kind of smell, like very heavy. We came right at like when it opened at 9 o'clock, because we don't stay out very late and we also don't drink. I think this is BYOB. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we came in and they got us all set up. We had already purchased our tickets online, which we recommend doing. Because a lot of these parties will sell out ahead of time. And then typically you want to find out what to wear. They'll usually have some sort of a theme. It's glow night, or it's 80s, or it's St. Patrick's Day, or whatever.
Halloween is
a big one, which we're going to miss. All our friends are going to that one, and we're so bummed. We're not going to be in town for that one. But we can't always get there. So the first thing that happened, you're in this little ante room, like it's like a check-in area. And then one of the bouncers came out and introduced himself. He was super nice, just a really big guy. And he gave us a tour because we were new.
You got consent talk.
Yes, we got the consent talk, which is really great and so important. And very few people were there because they had just opened, which was actually perfect because I was terrified. Like I had no idea what I was walking into. And so he took us around to the different rooms, and there was one section, like you would go in and there was like a couch with a TV with porn on, so you could sit there and watch porn or whatever. I think, was there a glory hole in there too?
I don't remember any glory
holes. I can't remember. Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's,
I don't think I've ever seen a glory hole.
I can't remember. I've heard about them as some other sex clubs. Then next to that is like a whole row of mattresses that are up on platforms, and they're separated by curtains. Mm-hmm. And then you can see if it's open, and there's like
There's curtains on the outside too.
On the outside.
There's sheer curtains, there's solid curtains, and then you can separate them. There's no curtains. So you can choose whether you're going to be watched through the sheer or just, and I think if you leave it open, it's an invitation.
It might be.
I think it was. So yes. The sheers mean don't come in necessarily.
But you can watch.
But you can watch. But if you leave them open, you might be inviting someone to join you.
Exactly.
Story on that. Yeah.
And so then, there's plenty of room for people to stand outside these areas to watch.
The viewing area.
So there's eventually people are all lined up. And then we went outside of there. And then there were a couple of rooms that were, it was just a one room with a door that had a big window that you could go in maybe with another couple and you could leave the
blinds open
or closed. People could watch you or not. I'm assuming if you leave the door open, that's the invitation. If you leave the door closed, that's the same sort of etiquette there are at play parties. So if you're not wanting anyone to join you, you keep the door closed. And then there was a huge circular platform out in the middle upstairs.
Above the dance floor.
Where
circular bed.
It was a huge circular bed that anybody could get on. And I think that one is open invitation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard of people going there and getting on there and then
hooking up with whoever's on it.
That they didn't realize that it meant open invitation if you're out there.
Right.
And so people started getting on and...
Oh, so you heard the story from someone.
Yes, yeah. On another podcast. Hmm. Yeah, so if you're choosing that option or if you're choosing a room and you've left the door open, realize that you may unwittingly be giving the message that you're open to other people joining. So if you're not, maybe don't hop on the super public bed.
Same thing with the sheer curtains.
Yes, same with the sheer curtains. So we finished the tour, showed us where the bathrooms were. Bathrooms were great. Everything's just a little older, right? But everything is clean. And I think that is probably the most important thing. And it was cute in the bathroom. They had supplies for the women, tampons and pads and hairspray and all the kind of things you would need, like baby wipes, lube and condoms, mm-hmm. and just everything you might need.
And you might need them.
And the staff is just on it. So they told us they are monitoring all the beds at all times. As soon as someone leaves, they are in there to take the sheets, put on brand new everything. And then they put a pillow in a certain place or folded something a certain way.
So you know it's clean.
To indicate that you know that it's clean. And then we went back downstairs to the main bar area or like lounge area by the dance floor. And we sat on this couch and the couch was worn. And I was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? What am I doing?
It wasn't meeting your Four Seasons standards.
No, I know. I was like, what is happening?
And you kept asking me, I was like, I'm not surprised at all. This is basically a strip club.
You have lived a much richer life than I have. So yeah, I was like, oh gosh. But I love new experiences and I love John and Jackie. So I was excited to see their business and to experience it with you. I love new adventures with you. And it was definitely that. And we had met a couple or chatted with a really sweet younger couple
on SDC
earlier. And they ended up being there that night. And so we got to meet them in person. We didn't connect with them sexually, but they were so sweet.
I like the girl. He didn't like the guy.
I did. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, that's not your preference. I'm like, oh, she's cute.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. But they were so friendly and positive. And they had
invited us to their group.
Yeah. So they had apparently at Colette's, there's like a section of couches where you can reserve that area for your group if you have a group. And they had a whole lifestyle group that they had done that for. And so they introduced us to their friends who were just super sweet. And so we chatted with them for a while, but it was wild people watching. There was the guy who was sitting next to us on the couch with his girlfriend mm-hmm. who was, it was so interesting. I couldn't tell if she was...
I think
was...
they were both a little challenged or disabled or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was something
they
going
were very
on.
Friendly.
And, so
they
sweet.
Were there for the same reasons we were.
Yeah, it was really interesting. This is one of the things I love about the lifestyle is it is so inclusive. Like, you will find all body types, all sexual orientations, all gender identities, and it's just a very loving, accepting group of people. And I don't know any other community that I've come across in my lifetime, in my 51 years, that I have seen that level.
Well, burners.
Burners are great that way, that's for sure. But there's some judgy fucking burners.
Yeah, they are, but not for the same reasons.
But not for the same reasons. This is true.
They're not judgy on lifestyle or orientation or anything like that.
That's facts.
Or sex or anything.
That's true.
They're judgy about how much you work on your camp.
On your camp? Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. But so I'm terrified most of the time. So before we saw the people that we knew, and then that was helpful in breaking the ice a little bit. We were just sitting there by ourselves and I was terrified to look around because I didn't want to make eye contact with anybody.
Just your go-to.
Because I thought, oh gosh, if I make eye contact with anybody, that they're going to throw me over their shoulder and take me straight to a playroom without my consent, which is irrational, crazy thought. That's how I was. If you're just brand new to this, I was just terrified.
You didn't know what to expect.
I know, I didn't know what to expect. But I did start looking around like a little bit. And so it's fun to see just the women, especially just so free and in their whatever fun outfits they were wearing, just dancing with different people. There was an older couple that was like, you could tell that they'd been lifestyle a while and they were just super in love and they really worked on their outfits and they were back to the side just dancing with each other. And then there was the couple all in white. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this guy, he was wearing like chaps or something. This guy was packing so much heat or else it was some sort of prosthetic he was wearing in there or
But you were told that he's the favorite of the club. Like, he's the regular.
Yes.
And the ladies like his package, apparently.
Apparently. Yeah. And I was like, but, like, when you think of a swinger, this is what you think of. Like, this, the orange tan and the, like, cap teeth and the gold chains and the, like, bleached hair. And then his wife had the big boobs and all the things. But they were so cute and so happy. And they looked awesome. They were in great shape and just seemed really happy. Like, there were just all kinds of people there, all ages. Mm-hmm. People think that swingers are old. Like that whole group that we saw, that younger couple that we met on SDC, all their friends were probably in their 30s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20s and 30s.
Yeah, 20s and 30s. It's definitely was a...
It was a cross-section for sure.
Oh, yeah.
People in the lifestyle.
Yeah. Even like differently abled people, which I had not even thought about, which is just... beautiful. Everyone should get to explore their sexuality. Okay. We were like, we are not playing with anybody here tonight. However, we have paid admission. We are going to have sex somewhere in this club tonight. Just us, at least. And we already knew that we like being watched from Burning Man Orgy Dome and from the festival sex tent. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, okay, let's go back up to those beds that are the mattresses that are next to each other, but are separated by curtains. And so we found one that was open and we got up there and it was so funny because it's more like a little square. It's not a lot of room and the mattresses are really thin. Like you can feel the springs. It's not the most comfortable situation. So we were like trying to make it sexy time. And like the people, you can see the people next to you because it's sheer curtains and you can hear everything. And
a lot of moaning going on.
A lot of moaning going on. But just because of, like, the smells and the just everything else, I was like, we both had a little bit of a hard time getting turned on with everything going on.
We still did it, damn it.
But we made it fucking happen.
We made it work.
We made it fucking happen. And we had fun. Like, we...
It wasn't our best sex ever.
It was not our best sex ever.
Like, it was just very distracting. And there's a couple literally a foot from us.
Yeah.
On the other side of this sheer curtain.
Yeah.
And this one was just taking it from this guy from behind. And it was like, it's a little distracting. It was hot, but it was distracting.
I know it was. And so we at some point, what did we do?
I know what happened. I think I said something to you. You were being naughty or something. And I said, does anybody have a paddle here? And we look behind us and there's a whole line of people who are watching all of this happen.
You stuck your head out of the curtains.
Yeah. Does anybody got a paddle? And this guy right behind us digs into a bag and pulls out this awesome leather paddle. And I'm like, thank you, sir. And I swatted you a few times.
We had the curtains open so people could see you paddling me. And then we closed them again so we could have sex.
It's all about the entertainment.
It's all about the entertainment.
Yeah. Got to keep the people happy.
And somehow we made that happen because we were determined to say that it was like a bucket list thing to have sex at a sex club.
Yes.
At least with each other. And then I think we left after that, didn't we?
Yeah, there was a couple of guys there that caught your eye towards the end.
Like, oh, that's right.
You guys came in, and I was like, what about that guy over there? And like, because I know your type. And he looked up at me, and I looked at him, and he looked at you, and then we just kept moving, and then we ended up leaving.
That's right. So when we were leaving there, I was disoriented. As we came out and we were going down the stairs, there was a guy that it was potentially attractive, and then one more down at the bottom of the stairs, like he was in the couches.
Which is a pretty good hit rate for you.
That is actually...
Yeah, to get two in one
room. Incredible hit rate. So I think the issue is that we came so early, and that's the problem with me and the lifestyle, is that everything starts so late. I want to be home by 9 or 10, and this place didn't even open until 9. And so that's why we started hosting our own parties at our house, where people are out by 10. And we start at 6. It's just so much more fun. We prefer the day dates if we can do it. But yeah, but that's good to know that if I can somehow stay up just like maybe an hour later, I might have a higher hit rate.
Yeah.
Well, or at least get some numbers.
Everything else we've done has gone till 11:30, 12. Our parties have gone till midnight.
Yeah. But I was in bed. The pool parties
are going. Yeah,
you were escaped in bed.
Yeah, you're in bed by 11, and the whole party's still going on.
I know.
So funny.
I know. That's okay. I'll find people who are okay with that. I'm like, you can meet me at 2 o'clock.
Oh, we've heard people say, oh my God, that's genius. Like, why does everybody meet so late?
I know.
Brunch and play.
It's in our profile. And we've gotten really good responses to that. So I know there's people out there who are like me. Yeah, I don't like to mess up my sleep. It just affects me for days. But so that was our experience at Colette. And yeah, we really like it. We'll definitely be back. Like I said, we have friends in that town and they have just raved about especially the Halloween party, which we're missing this time because we're going to be out of the country. But we are definitely going to make plans to go next year to it. We will not miss it. It's supposed to be so much fun. And I love dressing up anyway.
So what was your overall take on that club and being at a sex club with a bunch of strangers?
For me, I'm not going to have sex with a stranger. That's not my thing. I'm not that kind of swinger. I really like having a connection. And as if you've listened to our other podcast episodes, you'll know we are like a slow burn. We build up, we get to know people, and then the attraction builds, and then we're open to hopping in the sack.
So that might be for us a good place to meet people and later go to dinner, get to know them, and then maybe play.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I don't think, just personally, I would rather have sex elsewhere, at a hotel or our house or something like that.
It's too wild there.
Yeah, it's just a little much. But yes,
but it works for a lot of people, especially if they have kids at home.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to get a hotel room.
Oh, it's genius.
It's a place to go and fuck.
Yes.
People that you don't know.
And it's clean.
Or that you do know.
And it's well run, and the staff is great. And so.
A little dated. They need to work on that.
Yes. And I really think that, especially in the cities where they are, there's a high enough income population there, they could raise the price and upgrade.
Yeah.
And they could get it. And I think that would be more on brand with who they are, honestly.
Yeah. And I think there's a place for a really fancy sex. And there are plenty of them out there in major cities.
There are.
I think the cities that they're in deserve a really nice experience like that.
100%.
Yeah. But it's hard when you got people, you know, coming all over the place in your place of business and you have to clean it up. And
it's
like
a
lot of people coming through, but they're only really open on the weekends, right? Wednesday through Saturday.
Correct.
So it's not full time.
And what else can we say about it? Yeah, I just, at this stage of our lives, like we're in our 50s, it's so cool to experience new things. I feel like I have lived my whole life in this just like little box of being sheltered. And I just love all these new experiences that we're having, mm-hmm. the new people that we're meeting, realizing there's not just one way to live my life, that I'm not crazy or weird for having different desires or feelings or interests, that there's plenty of other people like me and not like me. And that's okay. I just love the open-mindedness of it.
And I think it's good to push your boundaries. That was a boundary-pushing night for us because we hadn't really done it.
Uh-uh.
I've been in one of those places a long time ago, and it was much seedier and much more like almost I went to my ex-wife one time on a crazy night, and it was just much more almost we have a dancer there, and they come in. Yeah, it's almost like a bordello almost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it was a lifestyle club before it was really called Lifestyle. This was many years ago.
Oh, wow.
Much seedier, but interesting. I like to do interesting things and see interesting people. And
we're in it for the stories.
In it for the stories. And I don't mind being uncomfortable as things are like, oh, what's that all about? To me, that's what I like to do, is just experience new things and see how people react in those environments. It's just really interesting to me.
Yeah, it really is.
So let's talk about our experiences to throw onto this. So our first several experiences that we've had in the lifestyle. We haven't really done that on the podcast yet.
No, we haven't.
It's kind of informative for people who are just thinking about getting into it, what they can expect, what things might be like, what our experience was.
Yeah.
To understand like maybe what they're getting into.
So we travel a lot. So we thought that it would be a good idea for our first experiences to be traveling because we wouldn't run into people we know or kids or anything like that. And so that was really helpful.
You can find people in a new city with the apps.
Yes. So when you can either change your location or I think it automatically
say what location you're going to be in, or it just tracks you where you are and it just pulls up people in your new city that are on the app.
And so I think that ahead of different travels, we had changed our location or said we were going to be during certain dates on our profile. And so we had been chatting up the first one with a couple that was younger and really nice and smart, and we got along well with them. And there was a hotel takeover in their town, and so we decided to just book a hotel there for our trip. And so we ended up meeting them at the hotel takeover.
We just went to the social part,
which a lot of people were allowed to go to, and that's what they did too. They didn't do the hotel takeover either. But it was really interesting seeing all the different kinds of people, and it was nice to go with a couple, so we felt like we weren't walking in.
Yeah, there were a lot of single couples there that looked very nervous.
Yes.
Deer in the headlights. And so we had our group, and we basically just talked to them the whole time. We didn't really talk to many other people. There really wasn't anybody there that we were attracted to.
No.
Other than the people that we were with.
Yeah.
And we sat and talked for a while, and we had conversations with others there. And then we just decided to get up and go. We're like, okay, let's go do this. This is our time.
It was interesting because that was the first time you saw me kiss somebody else.
So we're sitting with a couple. I'm next to the woman, and then you're next to the woman, and he's next to you on the other side.
Yeah.
And this is one of our very first experiences. And at some point, I put my hand on her leg, which we hadn't done yet, any of that. And then he had his hand on your leg.
I saw he had his hand
yep. on your leg, and so I did the same thing. Yes. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
At least when I was learning, I was like, okay, I can do that now.
Yeah. Okay, I know. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
They were more experienced, even though they were younger.
Yeah. Then we had a great conversation, and we decided to get up. And then you guys went ahead of us, and he was checking out of the bar. And then I saw him kissing you, and that was the first time I'd seen you kiss a man.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, wow. And I had her with me, too.
Yeah.
And I had a hard on because I was watching you.
Man. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I pulled her close to me, and she was back. So, ooh, that's nice.
That's hot.
Yeah. But I watched that, and I was like, I was fascinated, and I was a little scared. And I was like, wow, she's like kissing that guy. And I didn't start kissing her there yet. And then we go up to the room.
Wait, you kissed her back at the earlier when we were sitting down all chatting. Yeah, you did.
I did?
Really? When we were seated.
At the table?
Yeah, when we were seated at the table, you saw him kiss me for the first time at the table.
No, it wasn't until we walked away that I saw you kissing him. You never kissed him at the table.
I did.
That's the first
time he kissed me.
You slut.
And then you kissed her right after.
Oh, I didn't remember that. I just remember you mugging down with him when I wasn't with you. So maybe that's the one I remember because I wasn't there.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. You didn't know. I was watching you.
That's so funny. Oh my God.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so maybe we kissed. I don't remember kissing him when he was closing the checkout, but I guess that's what you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that so funny? Yeah, it's fascinating what you remember because there's a lot of cortisol involved, you guys, mm-hmm. when you're seeing your partner kiss somebody for the first time. So it's, keep in mind, I saw him kiss somebody for the first time a year and a half before at the Orgy Dome, and it freaked me out, right? So I've had a year and a half to process this. This is the first time you've seen me kiss somebody else.
And I was like, wow.
And so you're like, oh, I get it now.
Uh-huh.
It's a weird feeling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So we go up to the room.
And they were so sweet, and she was beautiful, sexy, and...
So we're sitting on the couch. She gets up to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you guys are sitting there, and then you guys just start mugging down right in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, and I was just watching you, and you're taking your shirt off. I'm like, whoa, it was terrifying and hot and fascinating all at the same time.
And I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I think I came over to you, and then you were like, go kiss him.
I did not.
Yes, you did. I promise you, because I remember going over to you after she went to the bathroom, and I felt
that's right.
Because I felt before like weird you about it.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, before, and then
yeah,
you get there.
Yeah, and then I
feel like it gave me permission because I was like, oh, I feel like obviously I don't want to be a slut, but I am a slut because I'm in the lifestyle. So I was like, okay, he's cool with it. And so I went over.
But then you did. And I'm like, wow,
she did it. You weren't supposed to really do it.
Yeah.
And then,
no, I wasn't against it, but I wasn't. I was just really.
It's a weird feeling.
It's a conflicting feeling because you have all these emotions at the very same time.
Exactly.
So those of you who haven't experienced this before, it could go one way or the other, depending on how much you've prepared for this and how ready you are for it. And I think we were ready.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So y'all start making out, and then she comes out and gets on my lap, and we start making out. And then
she's very happy with your cock.
She was very. Well, she hadn't felt it yet.
When it came out, she was very happy with it.
And then you go down on him and she goes down on me. And I saw, I don't even told you this, but he looked at me and he was like, as soon as you put him in your mouth, the look on his face was like, whoa.
Oh, no.
And he actually made that noise.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Whoa. And I'm like, yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's pretty good. And so she works on me, you work on him for a while, and then we get in the bed.
Yeah. And then then things changed a little bit. So this is a younger guy who had really built up his
skills.
His skills.
In advance
on text.
That was part of the conversation at the table before was he was talking about his great skills.
Yes.
And we're like, great. And it was almost to the point where I was like, dude, you can stop talking about that. I wasn't like, prove it, because I assumed he was telling the truth.
He's young. We're like, okay, you're young and virile. All right, awesome. So we get into the bedroom and we're experienced. And so we thought, okay. But we get in the bedroom and what we realized, and this is apparently super, super common in the lifestyle because you're performing in front of other people. You're watching your partner get fucked by somebody else. You have to wear a condom. So it was just not working, right? Yep. So he was having performance issues and it just wasn't working.
But his reaction was like he wasn't having any performance issues.
He wasn't acknowledging it. So this is the trick.
Yeah.
So guys, what I would recommend if that happens is just to acknowledge it. Like, just to be like, it seems
it's not working tonight.
It's not working tonight. Sorry. Because it really is no big deal, especially if you just own it like that. For me, I know this now and I wouldn't be offended by it, but I was like, at that point in my life, I had never been with a man who'd had issues. And that sounds crazy, but I was married for almost 20 years. And then I met you almost within a year of divorce. Mm-hmm. And then...
So you didn't have experience with older men who might have issues.
Of course. And anyone, I think it's just more common even with young people now because our diets are this way. And he had been drinking that night. Alcohol is a major issue. I think he'd also been smoking pot. There are just so many things that can make it go sideways or downwards.
Sideways would have been helpful.
Sideways would have worked. But
meanwhile, I'm with the wife and enjoying it. And she's enjoying it.
Killing it.
One of the things that she did was she really liked to play, a lot of foreplay.
Like a lot of women.
30 minutes, 45. No, I'm talking exceedingly long amount of foreplay. I'm like, I don't know if I have that much time.
You know what I kind of love is that she knows what she needs and likes, and she stated it.
And which she stated it like, this is going to be a while, so just prepare.
I was like, fuck yeah, take it.
Yeah, I'm like, all right.
That was great. I was impressed.
But meanwhile, I have to stay hard that whole time. That was 45 minutes.
Which you have no problem doing.
I know, but there's anxiety around, hey, am I going to be able to... Of course not, because I just played with her and it was great.
You did great.
But guys, think about these things.
Yeah, that's true.
Make sure I got to perform in this
situation.
That's true. You guys need to lie back, and if nothing's wet down there, you can put some lube in.
That's true. But, this is true.
Yeah, but for guys, there's this expectation, which you had that expectation.
I did, and I don't anymore. I had no context for it. I've never been in lifestyle before. My previous sexual experiences were basically all in my 20s when everybody was hard as rocks and it was not even when drunk. I was like, what? And I thought it was me. I was like, he's not attracted to me. Oh my God.
Which
this is so embarrassing.
Patently ridiculous.
And I just felt, I didn't know what to do. And then he wasn't acknowledging that what was happening. And so I felt like I just had to keep working on him, but it was like exhausting.
And he was still pushing a rope
and
too.
It wasn't working.
Like he wasn't hard, but he was acting like he was. And so it wasn't going in and there was no penetration. And now he did perform with his fingers. And
so this was great.
Yes.
So so finally I was like, I think we're done here. I want to take a break. Maybe let's watch them. I can't remember what I did.
You did something which was good. You might have wanted to do that earlier. Like,
I should
rather than
that.
Allow the rope to be pushed, you could have been like, maybe we should watch them or maybe we should do something else. So he did do something else.
And we talked about that later. I was like, okay, if this happens again, then we can just be like, hey, don't worry about it. Let's just watch them, or they're so sexy, or let's take a break, or I need some water.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom. So we ended up doing that, and then he started fingering me, which I know I love, and he was able to make me come and squirt just with his hands, which was fucking
good
amazing.
Job, dude.
That was really awesome. And then we watched you guys, which was really sexy. Yeah, she was really enjoying herself.
She was.
And you looked so hot.
That's the first time you've seen me. No, second time you've seen me do that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I still have that picture in my mind of how sexy you looked fucking her. You looked so masculine. You were just...
Spank bank picture.
Definitely. Just your forearms and all of your muscle. I was really hot. And I was just like, I was so happy for her and for you. I was so proud. I always talk about I'm not necessarily turned on by watching you have sex with somebody else. But I am so proud and so happy for you. I'm like, fuck yeah. If you loan somebody your car, that's a really sweet car. And you're like, yeah, go drive my fucking Ferrari. I was like, yeah, I'm proud of that. See that? See what he's doing? Oh my God. That's what I'm talking about.
So I remember you being very disappointed or worried or upset that you weren't attractive enough or something in your mind. Explain that.
I just assumed I had literally, that was the first time I've ever had a sexual experience where a man couldn't get hard. Right. So I just was like, oh, if a guy can't get hard, that means he's not attracted to you. I made that assumption. Since then, I've listened to every fucking podcast there is on the lifestyle and realized and read every Reddit post on this subject. And now I know that this happens in 50 to 80% of all lifestyle encounters. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is because of age and health and group play. When you have multiple people around, it's very distracting. You're watching your partner get fucked. It can just be intimidating. You're having to wear condoms. That can reduce sensation.
You got to perform. You have expectations.
Yeah, there's a lot of psychological, like, performance anxiety. There are so many ways this can go wrong. And now I have so much empathy for men in these situations. Like, I'm horrified that I even thought that. Like, now I can't even imagine thinking that again. And I believe that he was attracted to me.
Definitely was attracted to you.
But yes, I immediately put it on myself and was like, I wasn't sexy enough, or my lingerie wasn't sexy, or my boobs were too little, or whatever. But yeah, what a learning experience. And that's what this is. I'm one of those people, I have to learn by doing. And so just jumping in and trying things and then being forgiving of yourself and others and learning as you go is just incredibly valuable. And we're still friends. We're still in contact with them until this day. And they're just a great couple. And they live far away, so I don't know that we'll repeat that. But it was overall a really positive experience. And then I think we did the Colette's thing after that. And then we had another travel date with another really sweet couple.
They actually came to our town.
Oh, yeah.
And they found us on field. And what's funny is they had a date set up with somebody else that we know.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, you remember this? Because we brought it up. They were coming to our town and found us on field.
And they had found somebody else on field too, but then...
Somebody else on field that we know.
Yes.
And we figured out later that they ditched that couple to come see us. And
I don't think I knew that at the time.
And at first I was like, as soon as they walked, I was like, this isn't going to work.
So we met them, I think it was like on a Friday night at the hotel bar. And we just as a meet and greet.
That's right.
To see, hey, vibe check, which I highly recommend doing. You don't want to promise sex to somebody from an app before you meet them in person, because you don't know, like, pictures can be deceiving. And also there's just a vibe. There's a chemistry that mm-hmm. you can only get in person. And so we always say connection first, you know, no expectations. We are looking to make friends before anything else. And we really liked them. And so we made plans to meet up the next day for happy hour. And then we went.
Let's talk about impressions when we met them. At first I saw her and I was like, no, this isn't going to work. I didn't think you'd be attracted to him at all. And so they came in and I just didn't think they would fit either one of us. But then we had this great conversation and they were really genuine, good people and they were funny and they just grew on us. And that seems to happen a lot with us. Like at first, maybe we're not that attracted because the chemistry isn't there, but we don't know them. And then over time we get to know them, like, oh, these are great people.
Yeah.
And what was your impression of them?
Yeah, I wasn't attracted at first. And then, although he's one of the better looking guys mm-hmm. that we had seen so far in our limited experience at that time, but he looked a little too much like some of my family members.
That's right. So that was the issue. He looks like my brother.
I know. I was like, this is a little awkward. But I was like, all right, but he has a really good body. He was super in shape. And I was like, all right, if I'm going to dive in and have some experiences, like, this might be as good as it gets for now. As we got to know them and talk to them, people just become more attractive. And this goes for the opposite too. Really attractive physically. People who are physically attractive can become way less attractive if they are total... If there's no chemistry, but if they're dicks, right?
Yeah.
If they're just unkind people or they're uninteresting or judgmental.
We have a good radar for that.
Yes.
Like, you can have a conversation with someone and figure out if they're judgy.
Yeah.
Or if the couple isn't vibing together. But they seem to be really happy. They seem to be really
yes,
cool.
Yes, they were a really cute couple. Been together a long time. Really happy together. And funny. Like, they had this, like, understated humor, right? Mm-hmm. They were very quiet. But super sweet. And, like, her eyes are really sparkly. And we just ended up liking them. And so we were like,
let's meet them up tomorrow.
Let's see how it goes. And so we met him for drinks, and I just remember watching to see how many drinks he had, because I was so nervous after the last time. When the guy has a drink, I'm always looking and a little worried because I wonder if it's going to affect performance. I think he had two drinks, so I was like, okay, I wonder how this is going to go. And
we walk back to the hotel.
We walk back to the hotel. We
stop in the lobby and just stare at each other for a while.
It was, this is what I'm talking about. It's
the awkward, moment. Are we going to go upstairs?
I want to go backwards. So the night before, after we finished having drinks at the hotel bar, you and he went upstairs for something. And then I was talking to her and I said, look, like, there is no pressure with us at all. I know you guys are traveling here. And this is our opportunity to play if we're going to play. But just because you're traveling and this is our one opportunity doesn't mean there's a requirement, like, at all. If this isn't it, like, that's fine. You guys will come back to visit another time. No pressure. And I think she appreciated that.
How did she react to that?
She was like, great. But I think they were down.
Yeah. They were down.
And they're only in town for next night. Yeah. We were, like, in the lobby again after happy hour. And I was just looking around. Somebody needs to say something. Are we doing this? Are we going up to their room? What are we doing? And finally he was like, what did he say?
Shall we go up to the room?
Shall we go to the room? And we were like, okay. And so we go up there and then there's a little more small talk.
I think we established some boundaries, which is formal.
Yeah, what were they? Did they have any?
Yeah, they had preferences. I don't remember what they were.
I can't remember. They were full swap. They were fine finishing with whoever. They didn't really have a lot of rules.
Yeah, no, neither do we.
They were fine. And so we started kissing and it just went from there. And then I think we had a good time with them. But he did have some performance issues. It was a half chub situation, which I was like, all right, dealt with this before. Alcohol issue.
I don't think it's alcohol. I think it was the dynamic because then when I was finished with her,
yeah,
I made her happy. And then I saw you guys and I came over and we did an MFM for a little bit. And then that's when he got hard, you said.
I had you in my mouth and he was
behind you.
And then he got hard. And I think it was because, you're right, because that makes you think that it's more of a mental thing. Because as soon as you were involved, it was like I was distracted with you. So there was not so much pressure on him. Right. So he was able to come back from it. Yeah. And then he was able to finish inside me in a condom, of course. Mm-hmm. Which was really cool.
Which was hot as fuck. And that was the first time you had that experience. Yeah. Like, oh, I kind of... I think you even told his wife, that was really good. You should try that sometime.
Yeah. And she watched. She was like, that was awesome. They're just a really good couple.
Yeah.
This is what's great about having a couple that is super solid. Like, there wasn't any jealousy or weirdness. Like, they were obviously super happy for each other. And it was just easy. And then they live far away too, so we haven't seen them again either. And then the last one that we had was traveling as well, was a super fun couple.
Yeah, we really liked this couple. They were hilarious. Like, they so kept fun. Us laughing the whole time.
Oh my God.
Totally the same sense of humor. She was adorable. She was really good looking.
Uh-huh.
And he was decent looking.
Yeah.
And I didn't think you'd be into him, but you were more than I thought.
I really liked his personality.
Yeah, and that's what grew on you.
That is so big for me. Honestly, there are so many body types and faces that I can find attractive with a confident personality and intelligence and all of that. So that's huge for me. So we ended up meeting up with them and they came to our hotel room and we talked for a little while. I think we had brought...
Oh, we brought the cards out.
We had some games with us, like the Truth in Dating card game that we've talked about. So we did a little few of those to learn more about them and their preferences, and that was funny.
Great way to break the ice.
It was a fun little icebreaker. And then we had a suite, so we were in the little living room, and then we came from living room into the bedroom. And we started just with massages, mm-hmm. and then...
Great way to start.
It was a great way to start. And then, I don't know, tell me, what was your experience? Because I don't really remember looking at you guys that much.
It was very similar to the first one for me. It was like good sex, and she was hot, and I was enjoying it, and she was enjoying it, and it was good.
And mine was also very similar to my previous experiences, where he was not able to...
Perform.
Right. So,
and he'd also had two or three drinks.
Yep.
And he wasn't in great physical shape.
Yeah.
And so those two combos, plus all the other dynamics that we just mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he couldn't do it. And I think he was a little more embarrassed than the first guy.
I think he was a little bit more
acknowledging of it. He kept trying, though. And that's one of the things we hear a lot, guys, is that if a man's not performing, they think if they keep performing, it'll change.
If you keep just trying.
If you just keep trying and pushing that rope up the hill, But it doesn't work that way.
No.
If you're not getting up and you're in your head, which I think he was in his head too.
Yeah, I think so.
Then it's only going to get worse. I think the hope is that it gets better because you're, okay, I can do this. But if it's not working, change it up. Either stop and just watch and let things flow.
Switch back to your partner.
Switch back to your partner is always
honestly
a great
the
way to
best
do it.
Advice ever. Mm-hmm. Definitely acknowledge it is the most manly thing you can do is, oh yeah, this happens. Hey, let's switch it up.
Yeah.
That is the best thing you can do.
It's confident.
For the woman, especially. Hey, it's not you. You're super hot. This happens every once in a while. It's totally not you. Let's switch it up. Sometimes this happens with new people. I'm just nervous because you're so hot. Say something sweet like that. Honestly.
Rather than let her think that she's the problem, because that's probably what a lot of women go to is, I guess I'm not attractive enough or whatever.
I think he even implied that my vagina was too small. And I was like,
and that's a problem.
And I was like, I am not a big person.
It definitely wasn't too small for him.
But the problem was, it doesn't matter. But like, I can get all kinds of sizes in there as long as it's rigid.
It's got to be rigid
enough to get in there. Yeah,
and he was embarrassed.
That's
so,
okay.
And
he's a good person.
And I get what he's thinking. But the idea there is, if it's not working, just don't force it. And then maybe it'll come back because you've gotten more relaxed and you're not on this performance pedestal that you have to think that you have to. You know, the expectations that men have. Mm. You must satisfy the woman, and if you're not satisfying her, switch it up and go back to your partner or just acknowledge it. The first guy, one of the problems I had with him is that he didn't acknowledge it. He talked up his skills in advance, and I think he knew that he might have a problem because he had specific toys and stuff that might help somebody with ED.
It
felt disingenuous to me, and that's the only real issue I had, is that he just wasn't honest about it. And it's much better to be honest and just be cool and be confident about it. Yeah, this happens sometimes, so let's just watch them. Way better than trying too hard or blaming the woman at all. Or just hoping something will change or faking it. Those are all just really weak-ass things.
It happens. And it's so not a big deal. I know that's really hard for a lot of guys to come up with, because you think you're just being judged on your dick size and how hard it is. But I promise you, authenticity is always the way to a woman's heart. We know you're doing the best you can. We know you don't want this to happen. Mm-hmm. And if we're there with you, we're attracted to you. There's something attractive about you that we love, and we can find something to do. You can switch back to your partner. We won't be offended. But just to the extent that you're just honest and open, it just makes everything so much more fun, right? There's so many ways to have fun in a play session, regardless of what happens.
Yep.
But yeah, if you can play first and then drink after.
Yeah, brunch and play.
Yeah,
we're gonna make
play
this
and brunch.
We're going to make this a thing.
We are going to make it a thing.
Yeah, play and brunch.
Yes.
That would be the order.
That would be the order.
Okay, so we said goodnight to them. They were great. I think we've had a couple texts since then.
Yeah, and then that's basically it. And then we've told you guys in the previous episodes about our just sort of soft swappy stuff that we've done locally with our group here where we live, as we've gotten to know the group and our community here in our town, which has just been really nice and slow. We basically took a 4-month break and then just decided to come back in much more slowly and get to know people and just not put any pressure on ourselves.
And this is our style, right? Because a lot of people can get out there and do all the things, and there are people just love to party and love to fuck, and I'm very envious of them because they're just doing all the things. But we just have a different approach, especially in a couple situation, where we're dating other people together. And so our dating styles have to match. And so I like our dating style. It works for me. I want to connect first, which I've really discovered in the lifestyle I need.
Yeah.
When I first got in, I was like, oh man, you need a connection, but I don't. So how are we going to make that work? Because you're going to have a relationship with a guy before you ever fuck him. And then I'm going to be able to jump in and I don't ever want to see them again. That has changed. You don't need a relationship.
No.
You just want a connection.
Yeah.
And I need a connection because it just makes me more excited and more attracted to them.
Yeah.
So it's actually equalized. It's really funny how that
worked out. We have really both learned so much. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't surprise me. We're very in tune with each other and similar in a lot of ways. It doesn't surprise me that we have ended up in a similar place from where we are.
And if you're really in tune with your partner, you probably have similar styles. Most of the couples that we know are pretty similar, right?
And even if you're not, like there's some couples that one person really likes group play and the other person doesn't as much, but they are like happy for their partner to have a lot of group play and go and explore that way. I just, everyone is different. And I think the best situation, and this is what I want for us, is to not put any rules or boundaries on you and let you explore however you want. And for there just to be no topic that's off limits or fantasy that's off limits. Doesn't mean like you tell me a fantasy and I have to fulfill it if I don't want to, like, that's not in.
And you are, I think you're very unique in that thinking, because I think most people get in a lifestyle and they're still in their fear or insecurity. You are very interested in making sure that I'm happy and I have a good time, and that you don't put any limits on me, because you in turn don't want limits put on you. It's just part of your personality. You don't want to be controlled. We talked a lot about this in the last podcast.
Yeah.
But I don't, I think most people getting this are couples that have been together, that are exploring it, where there's still jealousy and insecurity. We still have that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But we approach it in a, let's just do this, be happy for the other, and then process it. That's kind of our approach to it.
Exactly.
Let's do the things. If something makes you happy, I want you to have it, and I'm going to process it. We'll talk about it.
Exactly.
And that will help it get to the point we want it at.
Exactly.
Other couples may need a boundary. They may say, hey, I don't want you kissing another woman, or I don't want you doing it like a certain way, or the way that I do it. My personal opinion on that is, I get it, because I want to be the man who pleases you, right?
Yeah.
And that's still in me a little bit. I want to be the best that you've ever had. And so the idea that another man with a different style or a bigger cock or all these things that men worry about, there's a little insecurity in there, because you worry that someone will outperform you or make you happier. And that just goes all to the things we've talked about jealousy. But what I know is I want you to have a great time. You deserve, after those experiences, to have a much better time. And so we're definitely going to make that happen. And I've had my good times in this lifestyle already. But over time, I've come much more around getting rid of that I need to be special, or I need to be the only one that does a certain thing. I think that's where a lot of these boundaries come from. Like, a no kissing rule might be, I'm the only one that gets to kiss you because that's our thing and it's intimate.
Yeah.
I don't think that really works long term in the lifestyle to not kiss anyone. It's, you're not going to find a lot of couples, I think, that have been in a while that still don't kiss.
Yeah.
And that's just one thing. But the boundaries and rules are very important, because your partner has to be comfortable with whatever you do.
Yes.
And you really can't force it. You can't say, you can have those boundary conversations and negotiate that, but you got to stick to them, because it comes down to the trust you have in your partner playing safely. And if I break a boundary that we've agreed to, then you may not trust me playing later. And that can mess up your whole lifestyle gig.
That was our experience with Colette, our very early experiences. So now we've just slowed everything down. We're getting to know people. And hopefully the next time we play, hopefully that we will have a really great experience. And I think it's
100% going to be a great experience.
I am very hopeful.
Yeah.
And that we'll just keep going on like that.
And we're looking for new couples too. Like, we've started. We need to set up some more dinners and coffees to get to know some more people, because I think we want to expand out our group a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's just part of the fun, right? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that's it for this. Send us your questions. If there's anything you're struggling with, if you're new, we're at annaaden@gmx.com. And please leave us a 5-star review if we've found anything helpful on whatever platform you're listening. That really helps us reach more people. And we will, what are we going to, what should we do next?
I think we should fuck. These always turn us on. I don't know why. It's just, it's fun for me.
And you're wearing your shorts this show.
Yes, you like that.
All right, you guys.
Reach out to us. We'll see you next time.